And hello to you, and welcome to the Richard Nichols Podcast, the personal development podcast series that's here to help inspire, educate, and motivate you to be the best you can be. I'm psychotherapist Richard Nichols, and this is episode 208. It's titled Dealing with Toxic People. And if you're ready, we'll start the show. Looking at all the snow outside my office window today, it's fair to say that Christmas is coming, folks. But please don't let that stress you out, though. I know there's a lot of pressure to try and be cheerful this time of year and to be everywhere and see everyone, especially when Christmas last year was missing so much social stuff because of COVID. So there might be a lot of pressure to try and make up for it this year. And it might be a good idea to challenge that notion. You might prefer to limit your social gatherings, not just because of COVID, but for your mental health, for your stress levels. As we found these last 18 months, we live in a modern world and we can take advantage of it. We've got Skype, Zoom and FaceTime, Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp. And actually, we've also got the choice to not bother with people as well, you know, even family. It's worth acknowledging that for some people, family is just a bloodline, a connection with each other that's by design rather than desire. And it's okay to not love your family. It's okay to not even like your family. And the annoying thing is that it's likely that someone will wish us a Merry Christmas and assume that just because they are looking forward to spending time with their family, that you will too. And this notion that Christmas is always lovely and there's something wrong with you if it's not, isn't helped by the endless TV adverts showing these huge tables with a dozen people sitting around it, all smiling and laughing and liking each other. And none of them appear to be toxic. None of them appear to have passive-aggressive attitudes or are making snide remarks. No one's been racist or drunk or telling someone else how to better parent their children. And if anything toxic is on the radar for you, I'm so sorry, you deserve better, you really do. Unfortunately, boundaries can be crossed at these sorts of events. And whether that makes you feel angry and makes you want to argue, or it makes you anxious and leads you to want to withdraw, notice it. Be aware of how you're feeling and why. By acknowledging it, we can get some control over it, because then we can begin to lengthen the spaces in between the thoughts, the emotions, and our behaviours, you see. We just need to take a few deep breaths, though, as we're figuring all this out, to help us to recognise that just because your brother is a jerk, it doesn't mean you have to be intimidated by him. You can feel intimidated because he's being intimidating, but hopefully you can prevent it from turning into being intimidated. In some cases, that jerky attitude might not be even crossing boundaries to him. It could be that he's so used to acting that way towards you that he's normalised it and doesn't think that you care. So don't. I know it's easier said than done, and it takes a lot of practice, and maybe that's what Christmas will give you, the opportunity to practice these things. If it helps, think of it like this. If you think that it's hard to tell someone how you feel, to set boundaries with someone and tell them you don't like the way that they take advantage of you or whatever, because if it wasn't hard, you'd have done it by now, so it obviously is. So, if you think that it would make you uncomfortable, how uncomfortable does it make you feel in having to put up with them? How uncomfortable does it make you feel afterwards when they've drained you? Is that difficult too? Chances are, yes, it is. So you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and no matter which way you live your life, you're still uncomfortable. Well, which one would be better in the long run? Unless the person in question actually thrives on being a jerk, then setting healthy boundaries is going to be good for you. If someone in your life is toxic and you need to set boundaries as to, say, how much time you give them, for example, then there will be some pushback. After all, this is a toxic person we're talking about. It's not you being overly sensitive, it's them. They're probably a bit messed up themselves, which is why they do what they do. So if you need to rehearse what you're going to say to them to get it straight in your head, do that. Say it out loud. Wait until everyone's out. Stand in front of a mirror and practice what you're going to say. Imagine the pushback, if you have to, and how they'll react, and how you will too. Think about how you'll be, how you'll talk fairly slowly, calmly and deliberately, rather than panicky, fast and unintelligible. How you'll say to your angry dad when he's had too much to drink and raves about sending people back to where they came from because foreigners are a drain on the country. How you'll say, actually, Dad, most people don't realise it, but immigration usually adds 1% to the UK's GDP. And if he pushes back, you can say, let's change the subject. Fold or scrunch, what's the best way to use toilet paper? Or something like that. Or exactly that, actually. That's a weird conversation starter and not something for a first date, but it definitely changes the subject. We've also got the worst case scenario here, that sometimes we actually do have to learn to cut people out of our life. Sad, I know, but sometimes it has to happen. It's not so easy with family, but with so-called friends, you might have to keep your distance moving forward because they're not changing. You can set boundaries so that you only see them or talk to them at certain times. You can calmly assert yourself so that you've communicated what you want and what you expect from them. You can even act in ways yourself that you'd want from them in the hope that they pick up on it and become more comfortable to be around. But when they ring you up for no other reason yet again to complain about something, there's only so many times you can say, I've got an appointment in 10 minutes, but I can chat before I go. And then 9.5 minutes later, you say, hey, I hear you, but I've got to go. There's only so many times that you can do that and yet still get a text message 10 minutes later saying something rude about you because you cut them off. And this happens a lot. I hear this all the time. Some people, probably because of their own attachment injuries, will treat you like this. And if after 10 years of it you've had enough, that's okay. They are not your responsibility. Limit your time with them if you find them draining to your own mental health. Set boundaries. And if they aren't learning how to be decent towards you, then oh, I'm sorry, they've probably got to go. You are more important than they are. And it's not selfish to think that. And if it is, then so be it. It's okay to be selfish if, in putting yourself first, you're better able to be there for others if they need you. And if you're not able to be there because this one friend is draining you, then they need someone else to be their sounding board. If after every encounter with them you feel angry, exhausted or manipulated, then the relationship is toxic to you. If they make you feel bad about yourself, if they make you feel ashamed or guilty just for being you, then they are toxic to you. And if after all the boundary settings and assertive ways of saying how you feel about it, like I talked about in the boundaries episode in October, I think it was. That was a Patreon episode, actually. Jump on board on Patreon if you want to hear that, and very much more with it. If after all that, their behaviour doesn't change and the relationship is still toxic, then it really does need to stop. And even with family, sometimes we need to let them go. You deserve better than that. I know it's not always possible because sometimes it's very close family and you might be forced into the same room as each other because of circumstances, especially at Christmas. But that doesn't mean that you need to keep the connection open for the rest of the year. And it's a shame. It really is, of course. In an ideal world, it would be like it is on the telly, that when you leave work and someone says with a big smile, have a lovely Christmas, that you can smile back and mean it when you say, I will, you too. But you might not be expecting to have a lovely Christmas. It might be that your family is difficult to deal with and you'd rather be alone than put up with them. And that can be hard to accept. It's hard to come to terms with what that means to you. That your family might just mean that you're related to each other by blood, and that's all. That you have nothing else in common, and in any other circumstances you just wouldn't be friends. Which is fine if they don't make you feel awful when you're around them. But if they do, what do you do? What if this person is a sibling that will also be there at your parents' house on Christmas Day for lunch? Well, maybe you get an excuse ready as to why you won't be there this year. If you've given them enough chances and this is someone who you need to disconnect from for your own mental health, then whether it's this year or next year, if the same arrangement goes on, you make an excuse. And you visit your parents when the toxic one isn't around instead. And if this is your life, and on your last day of work, someone wishes you a Merry Christmas and tells you that they hope you have a nice day, maybe you feel like telling them where to shove their Merry Christmas, but you smile and you say, yes, you too. Just see it as a game, a silly game that our culture plays with each other that seems to make this one day each year the most important one, when actually it's just Saturday, isn't it? It's just another Saturday with an extra couple of days off afterwards this year. A day where it seems that we're expected to be happy, whether we have treatment-resistant depression or not. And of course we might be happy, but don't beat yourself up if you're not. And also check you're not making yourself worse by expecting too much from yourself. Just because society says that you're supposed to make everything perfect and wonderful, so that if you're hosting a get-together, it's okay for it to not be perfect. And if you're worried, ask for help. Ask someone if they could make the starter for you or bring a dessert or something. We might not be able to avoid getting stressed, but we can maybe avoid unnecessary stress. We can say no to some things and yes to others. I'm sure I say this every year, but you don't have to attend every social event that your network is involved in. And in between these events, make sure that you make time for what's important to you. For resting. For relaxing. You might find that listening to music whilst thumbing through a copy of Top Gear magazine or whatever is more enjoyable in the long run than another late night with people you don't really get on with in a room that's too noisy to hear each other speak anyway. I'm sounding a bit miserable here, and that's not really my point. You can still enjoy this time of year and think differently about it. There's a big gap between being Ebenezer Scrooge and being Buddy the Elf. Do what's right for you. It's your holiday too, and if you need to plan in advance the days where you aren't going to be seeing anyone because you want to go for a walk for an hour or catch up on some TV programme, then that's fine. Do it. And for goodness sake, don't soak up the crap that's on social media. If some friend is posting loads of photos of the dozens of presents that they've wrapped up for their children with hashtag love my kids, feel free to ignore it. Don't compare your life to them. That's not good. Unless you've really got yourself emotionally sorted. And of course you might have, actually. Not everyone who listens to these has mental health issues. Some people are just really interested in psychology and psychotherapy and what makes people tick and well-being. So hello to you too. And if this is you, then sure, enjoy other people's nice days that they post on social media and be happy for them, not envious. That's great. Not everyone can do that. And if you can't, it's perfectly okay to leave social media well alone. As with many things in life, there are no rules, really, as to what guarantees well-being and happiness. Just do what's right for you. So, let's go for another month, looking at the time. You can always hear more from me on Patreon. If you enjoy my podcast series and you'd like to support me, you can do so through patreon.com. And as a thank you, you get a podcast episode every Monday morning from me, some super chill-out hypnotherapy tracks to listen to as well. And More importantly, you get a lovely warm glow knowing that you're helping the world to become a better place, because a big portion of your pledge does go to helping a lot of charities as well. So I'll love you and leave you for now. Have a super December, however you're spending it, and I will speak to you again soon. Okay? Bye for now.